Welcome to Inspired Radio with Helen Taylor. Get ready to be inspired. Stories have power and conversations spark change. So let's create a new world and get started right now.
Hey, good afternoon, Melbourne, good afternoon, Australia, and good day or evening to all our international listeners as well. I'm Helen Taylor. Welcome to my show, Inspired Radio. I'm here with you every Monday, 4 p.m. Melbourne, Australia time, and Sunday, 11 p.m. Central Time, US and Canada, for conversations and stories to inspire you. This is the BBS Radio TV platform, and we're going live to 190-plus outlets worldwide. Inspired Radio is all about change and getting uncomfortable and shaking up the status quo, breaking free from limiting systems and embracing our infinite potential. My guests are here to tell their story and to reveal how they overcame change and made better lives for themselves and, of course, for others, and to inspire you with their stories, because storytelling is creating the new world. So let me introduce today's guest, Angela Foreman. She's the founder of Gourmet Soap Kitchen, which she started in 1999 after becoming frustrated with ineffective eczema treatments for her children. What began as a mother's determination quickly grew into a pioneering natural brand, specializing in toxin-free handmade soaps crafted using traditional cold press methods and creating gentle, long-lasting products that are loved by thousands. But Angela's story goes far beyond soap. She has had many profound out-of-body experiences that have deeply shaped her understanding of who we are and the true nature of reality. With honesty, curiosity, and a fearless willingness to question things, Angela is going to share with us her extraordinary experiences and challenge conventional thinking. So buckle up, everybody. Here's Angela. Welcome, Angela. Welcome to
Hi, Helen. Hi, well done to remember all that.
Oh, no. It's written down, love. It's written down. I sculpted it. I created it. But, yeah, it's written down there. So welcome. I'm really looking forward to this next hour with you because I have listened to you in the past and I also use your products. So let's start there. Let's start with Gourmet Soap Kitchen. Started 25 years ago.
Yeah, it's hard to believe now. It just started. I had a son with eczema. Mm-hmm. And allergies and all this sort of stuff, and went to the doctors and they gave me creams that made him burn. Like he would cry when I put them on him. And they said to put sorbeline on him 10 times a day. And then I started reading the ingredients because I'm a questioning person.
Sure.
And I thought, well, what? You know, and I just started doing my own research. And I don't know, how did we research back then? I think I read books. I don't know. Back in that year. I didn't have a computer.
Yep.
So somehow I found out. So I started using my own, making my own salves for him.
Yep.
And that was in the very early 90s, I think 1992 or 1991, I don't know. But I got some golden seal root somehow and started making an ointment for him. And,
I for one am glad you did, because I stupidly, had the whooping cough vaccination, because it's being pushed on young mothers these days that, you know, if the visitors don't have that injection, you can't see your grandchild, basically. So I had it and immediately, you know, flared up with eczema. So I love your product. I love what it's called, When All Else Fails.
It's, you know which one.
It's brilliant, right? Because I went down the same road of looking at things. Yeah. When I went to the doctor, all they wanted to do was give me steroids.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I that's the first thing I made.
Yep.
Because that was the most important. And then, of course, I made soaps. And then years later, I developed a skin cancer on my hand. And I realized every time I put moisturizer on, it was making this thing on my hand flare up, which I didn't know what it was. Like, seriously, it would blister up every time. And I was kind of hooked on moisturizers. So then I moved on to that. So it's kind of been whatever I need, then deodorants and, you name it, whatever we need, whatever I need in my life, or whatever my friend or friends or family need, I make.
I love
So,
that because you're a bit of the crash test dummy, aren't you? It's like
oh, yeah.
you and your family were the experiment,
Yeah,
you did
yeah.
the investigation, and then you found solutions.
I don't know why they'd need animal testing on anything because it's got to go on humans anyway. So, and now I sell to dairy farms as well. So, organic dairy farms. So, I don't know if they're certified organic, but I make Manolis Vals for a big dairy farm. And the only thing they've had to do differently is put it in small containers because their workers want to put it all over their hands, and it gets used much quicker than it should if that's the case. But yeah, and it's just gone on from that. So, and
Yep,
I
so
love
that was the beginning of the business that you have now.
it.
But let's get on to the juicy stuff, won't we? Let's
Yeah.
get on to the really juicy stuff.
Okay.
I found you back in 2000, it was, or 1999, 2000, when I saw you being interviewed about your experiences. And I think everybody out there questions, like, who am I, for starters? It's always a big question, and it can be followed up by what the hell is this place? Like, what, where are we? Right? So you have had numerous out-of-body experiences. When did that start for you?
Well, it started when I was a child. I mean, I think it starts with a lot of children. And how does a child talk to their family about it? How do they talk to their parents? I used to have out-of-body experiences, and I can still remember them. I remember lifting out of the roof and being wary of the electric wires above the house, and I could see the top of our roof. And I'm sure, I think I told my parents, and my mother would say, "Oh, that's just a dream." And of course, I put it down to being just a dream. And yeah, and it went on from there. Should I go on? I don't want to.
Absolutely. I mean, I it there's some strange thing that happens too, is that we're usually born into a family that are ignorant of a lot of things, and especially ignorant of the things that we essentially need.
Well, in my case, my mum was a Jehovah's Witness, so anything like that was talked about, it was all, "It's demons. Stop talking about, you've got a demon in your room." So I very clearly remember lifting up in the house. And so I started to become frightened after telling my mother. But one of my first memories was of walking down the hallway. And every time I walked down the hallway in the house that we had, I can still picture it in my mind. I would say to myself, I don't know if I don't even think I could speak at that time, but I would say, in whatever language little tiny children have, "I'm not from Earth, not coming back, not from Earth, not coming back, not from Earth, not coming back." And I would say that whenever I walked down the hallway, "I'm not from Earth, not coming back," but not in a negative way. It was a happy way. It was like something, I look back now and I think it was my way of remembering when I came to Earth, of having some sort of remembrance of that, "You're not from Earth, Angela, you're not." So I just repeat that very happily. I wasn't a depressed child. I was a very happy child.
So you just hadn't been wiped, the memory hadn't been wiped, like it.
Well, somehow I remembered to say that little saying. I remembered that part. And then I remember things like, so after that, what happened was when I became frightened of lifting out, when I could verbalize it to my mother and talk to her about it. My father was always, he was at work or doing things, and, pretty traditional home. And what was I thinking about? But I, tried talking to them about it and explaining it. And then my mum told me it was demons. And, she started doing all sorts of things to try and, what have we got in the house that could have brought them in? Obviously, it was me. I was the one who brought in the house. I knew it wasn't. I would see every morning, nearly, unless my father was going to golf and got up extra, extra early. And it was usually just on daybreak. It wasn't quite light. And I remember I would see this tall figure, who I'd call the Watcher, and he would be at the door and just watching me. And because I was a very fearful child, I think Earth was quite frightening for me. Sorry, I'm just talking like I do now, but
No,
at
I
the
love
time
it. I love it.
I remember thinking, oh, it's him again. He's here again. He was about as tall as the door frame. And I thought, oh no, he's here again. But I would pull up my blankets and kind of look at him and just look at him. And then he'd just stay there for a while. And then he'd walk back down the hallway. I'd see him walk down the hallway. It was like you could see him, but he was more of a shadowy kind of look.
Yeah, I
He
know what you're
wasn't.
saying because when I first opened up spiritually and whatnot myself, I could see energies, but I could tell who they were, but there was more of a mirage type of thing, the energy itself. And I had a young one of my sons who could actually see them clearer than I could. And so I would sense or be aware of something around, and I used to tag team with him and say, "Who is it?" And he would just tell me who it was. So on one hand, I hear what you're saying. I had, though, my own experiences and the, I suppose, the ability to back up my son and encourage him with what he could do and what he was experiencing, because he even had a guide of some sort that he called Rainbow Bird. And Rainbow Bird used to just take care of him and look out for him. So I was encouraging that, where you had the total opposite, where
I
you're
had the complete opposite.
to shut down everything because it was evil, it was demonic.
I just wouldn't even talk about it.
What did you feel from this energy, this being?
Well, I felt a good energy from this one. He was a watcher. That's what I consider him. And I used to call him the watcher, but the diplomat, for some reason, I called him the diplomat. And it's kind of interesting because the word diplomat means between realms, I suppose, between countries, between realms. I suppose. But I didn't even know the word diplomat back then, like it was, but somehow I knew. But I
Was
stopped.
his job? Did you find out what his job was, hanging around watching you?
Well, that was his job as far as I knew. I didn't ask him anything. But I then went on to obviously having regular out of bodies as a small child. But then I remember trying, because I was then frightened, I became frightened after opening up to my mother about them. I
So what
started to feel I would be in bed and feel a
who had the
pressure.
fear? Who had the fear, Angela? Like, this is, we're programmed so much by our mums and dads. So your mum instilled her fear into your field, essentially.
Interfered with it really. So I remember then after that, I would wake up, in that sleep paralysis mode. And I would feel this heavy weight on me, which I believe that sleep paralysis, because I've used it since, but without going into that. So I would wake up in the sleep paralysis area, which I believe is a platform to move on to out of body. It's when you know you can do it, just relax, calm down. But if you're frightened, you can't. I've known that all my life. But I started feeling this heavy weight pressing down on me. And I believed then what I was told, which was it was a demon trying to press on me.
I
And
was told exactly the same things.
yes, so I still sleep on my side even to this day because, if I lay on my back, I'm going to lift up. Not so much these days, but when I was young, I would start lifting up. And that's quite scary. I remember lifting up and being frightened, but I kind of squashed it all down. And then I went through it. It was always present with me, that pressure. I even went to doctors as a, when I got a bit older, old enough to have my own doctor in my teenage years. And in my 20s, and asked them about it. I had this lovely old doctor, Dr. Jelliffe in Coffs Harbour, and he told me about sleep paralysis, and he said it is the thing. It's part of science. We know, that sleep paralysis is a thing. That's what you're experiencing. I didn't know what it was. It's just something that I had if I laid on my back, or
You
even if I
gave
was
it a
on my side.
label.
Sometimes I'd still get it. So at least I kind of felt like, oh yeah, it's a physical condition. So it's something that people get. And I thought, well, that's okay then. I kind of left it, but I still had my questions about, I never forgot the diplomat at my door. I missed him when he wasn't there. Like if my dad was going to golf, I'd hear my dad getting his shoes on and, doing those things in the room next door, and he wouldn't be there, the diplomat. And I remember as a child thinking, oh, he's not coming this morning. And the interesting thing about those experiences in that house was that my brother, when we were adults, and he's a high Jehovah's Witness elder, they don't talk about that sort of stuff. And he said to me when we were in our 20s that he remembers he would, because he'd go down the hallway when he left, just get on his heel and walk, off he'd walk after looking at me for a while. And he'd go through my brother's door. And I talked about it when I was in my 20s with my brother. And he said, well, he used to come into my room and go straight through my wardrobe.
Right.
I mean, I don't even know if my brother remembers telling me that, but yeah,
Okay.
it's but he wouldn't stop, he said, he wouldn't stop.
So
And
let
my
me.
brother became very frightened of wardrobes after that.
Oh my gosh, wardrobe phobia.
Yeah, he did literally.
So you were having out-of-bodies as a tiny child. You were seeing the watcher around. So you were obviously seeing, because there's we only see from, there's different sort of analysis out there of whether we see 1% of the reality or 5% of the reality, but we certainly don't see 90 plus percent of actual reality because it is all energy. We have thought forms that are our thinking that's out there. We have emotional energy. We have all sorts of stuff going on. So as a little one, you were seeing the watcher and you were in and out of your body. And then the fear came in from mum. And then you started to, you were still questioning it. Because you went to the doctor and you got at least some scientific kind of backup for what was going on. So tell me, did you keep leaving your body? Did you start having other experiences?
Well, I think we all leave our body. We've just got amnesia. We wipe when we come back. You know, it's whether or not you're alert to it. I believe firmly that this is why we have to connect in sleep. We die without proper sleep. Like,
Yes.
you can rest all you want, it makes no difference. Of course, your body's doing different things when it's sleeping, but you would still think that rest would do it, that we need to go into that unconscious state.
And I've even
And
heard that we are electromagnetic beings, right?
yes,
But
yeah.
when we actually go into that good sleep state, the magnetic part of us drops, and
Wow, I didn't know that.
the magnetic part is what's holding the spirit, the soul, whatever you want to call it, in, which is why when we get into, it's like a theta state, and that's when the body is heavy and it feels like something's sitting on it, right? Because it's just heavy and
Oh,
weighted.
that makes sense.
Yeah,
There you go.
heavy and weighted.
It's
The
a terrifyingly heavy feeling, I tell you.
Absolutely. I've had it a few times myself too. I know what you're saying. It really feels like somebody's sitting on you. So the body's in a theta state. The magnetic field drops, so the spirit or soul or whatever you want to call it can exit. Yeah.
So it's not a matter of does it, it's only happening to me. It's happening to everyone, I believe.
Yes, I agree with
And
you.
lots of people have had those experiences. And who are you going to talk about it? And look, it took Barnabas quite a long time to talk me into doing the radio shows on my out of body.
Well,
It's
hang on a minute. Hang on. We just went into who the hell's Barnabas, right? Nobody
Oh
out
yes, yeah.
there
Sorry.
knows.
Barnabas Nagy, I was a guest on radio shows. My first show was with Vinnie Eastwood, which I'll explain to you a bit about what happened there later. But I was a guest and a host on American Freedom Radio for some time.
Okay.
Barnabas saw my shows and he asked me, I think he asked me to come on his show.
So
Oh,
let's.
that's right. I made a comment. I made a comment in his. I talked about the warden or something like things, some things that I knew that were relevant to his videos. And
Hey,
that's when he contacted
everybody,
me.
Angela's just opened up a door and it's just all rushing out now. It's all rushing out right now. Tell me about American Freedom Radio. What was that about?
Oh, well, American Freedom Radio, one of my children, my daughter, my second youngest child, was quite ill from school cleaning chemicals. And of course, that's my alley, but it took me, a long time to find out what was going on with her. She got quite sick. And I literally, one night, I got down on my hands and knees and I asked for the one who's looking after, the one who used to come to my door when I was a child to come and help me. And I said, please. So I felt like I haven't actually said that to anyone. I said to him, if you do that in return, I promise you I'll do whatever I have to do to protect humanity, to do good, and to help other people. And of course, public speaking is my biggest fear. I wouldn't even do them at school. My mum used to have to come to the school because I would be so sick thinking about it and I would shake so badly that I would literally, it was ridiculous, and the next, so that evening after getting down on my hands and knees and asking the diplomat to help me, and I hadn't sort of talked to him for a long time, and I got, first of all, a call from a local minister who His secretary rang up and said that he's, I'll just say minister, has gone upstairs to the education department and told them to leave the hell alone. And that was within like half an hour or something. It wasn't very long at all.
So hang on a
And
minute, hang on a minute. So to leave you the hell alone in terms of what
oh,
the
I was getting
investigation
a,
you were
yeah,
doing
I was,
about.
yeah. I discovered that they were using cleaning chemicals. I got all the MSDSs and
Okay.
everything together, and I discovered that they were using really bad toxic chemicals in
Okay,
Australian schools
gotcha.
at the time.
Yep.
Don't know what they're using
And
now.
they were trying to block you, were they, in some way?
Oh, it was, I nearly had a nervous breakdown trying to deal with them. It was
Wow.
dreadful.
Yeah.
And that was when I got down on my hands and knees and asked for help.
Okay.
And I just wanted my daughter to live. I wanted her to be healthy, and I didn't want her to be exposed to those because she, her cup was full.
Yep.
She couldn't take any more of them. She was
Fair
often on the
enough. That's our
doctors. Yeah.
mum's job is to
Yeah.
protect our children.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
And then the next morning after this minister went upstairs and she said, I don't know what's going on with him, but he's just gone upstairs and told them to leave you the hell alone, the education department.
Okay.
And
Okay.
then I got an email, which I don't know what time Vinnie Eastwood wrote it, but in the morning I read the email, which asked me to come on a 2-hour show
Yep.
to do with the chemical poisoning of children.
Jeepers, you really opened up the door, didn't you?
Well, I don't even, I think one of his subscribers had recommended me, someone that had seen my plight in Australia, because I was on the news a few times. But yeah, all sorts of things happened
Right.
in with that. But I made a promise to do it.
You
So,
did.
and the funny thing was, when I came to the show, I was nervous all week. And then when it came to it, I felt this calmness, like someone just touched my shoulder. And I felt this complete calmness. I wasn't nervous at all.
Yeah.
And it went on from there, did a few shows with Vinny. And then they asked me to do my own radio show. And I thought, oh no, don't make me do that, diplomat. I don't want to do it. But
Yeah.
I knew the promise. So I did that. And then I got in trouble for, because I mentioned a few things about Flat Earth back when we weren't supposed to talk about it in
You
2014.
push the limits with the
Yeah,
con.
yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be told to, I wouldn't quiet.
Yeah.
I wouldn't stop telling the truth or what I saw as, what I'd seen. I wasn't telling people what to think. I was having, wanting to have people on
You were
that had
sharing your
information.
personal
And
experiences.
I wanted people on that had the information on about it, so we could learn more. Yeah, so that's how that all started. And then Barnabas had seen my shows. Well, I don't think he did. He just saw a comment that I wrote on his wall.
Barnabas at the time, Barnabas was, he was just a researcher and an investigator. He was questioning everything,
Oh,
everything.
yeah, he was good. He was the best, I reckon.
Because I watched him for a while, and I, we talked about this before the show started, that, he just, we just loved that he was turning everything upside down
Yeah.
and inside out. And he was finding some really relevant facts and information, wasn't he?
Well, Barnabas Nagy and I think Eric Debay, probably two of my favourites. They
Yes.
just seem to, there's no crap. They're just honestly, it's not about, it's about, they have the right motive in
Yes.
what they do.
Yes. And they weren't out there shoving anything down anyone's throats. It was just saying,
No.
hey, start doing a bit of critical thinking here, which is what
Yeah.
everybody's being asked to do right now, aren't
So
they?
my main thing was doctors, interviewing doctors and all that sort of stuff and alternative health.
Well.
And so there's some really, I met some amazing people. But then Vanessa says to me, can you go on air and talk about your out-of-body? And I was just like, I can't do that. I can't. No, no one will believe me. They'll all laugh at me. That's what I said. Like, I can't do that. Like, I don't want to do that. And he talked to me about it and he said, I'm telling you, people are ready.
Yep.
And I was just like, and I said, I don't think they are, but I've made the promise, you see.
So
I'd made the promise.
how did you overcome yourself?
With what?
Well, any resistance that we really meet in life is usually our own resistance, right? So you had a lot of experiences in your past about being judged or being criticized or being
Yeah.
told certain things about out-of-body
Yeah.
experiences. And here you were being asked to push all those things aside and just do it. How
Yes, I know.
did you overcome it?
I left it to the good ones. I have a way of when I'm, because I'm a spiritual person, I have a way whenever I speak to them, I go through the list.
Who do
Must be
you
the good
call the good
ones.
ones? Who are the good ones?
Well, that's what I call them. They don't have a name
Okay.
because I don't know their name. And I don't even know that if outside, which I can go into more later, have we have names. because it's more than names. Names are a
So
bit,
you're
they're
saying that they're spiritual beings?
yes. But I'll go through a list, the ones, not the tricksters, the good ones, the ones that want to free humanity, the ones wanting the best for us, the ones with good intentions, the ones not the tricksters. I'll say the tricksters because there's tricksters in this realm which we can go into, but yeah, that's what I do. And I just literally leave it to them. And I go to the diplomat, like even today I had to ask him, just can you, I'll be your voice, you know, whatever you want said, let that be said, and whatever you don't want said, please help me not to say it, you know,
Luca,
because you've
Luca.
got to think, what are people ready for, you know?
They're ready. They're ready. And
Are they? Yeah.
the thing is that we become a little isolated in our own little reality, that we don't realize that there are people in their own bubbles, because I just think everyone's got their own personal reality running.
Yeah.
But there's hundreds and thousands that are all running OBEs and connections and all that sort of stuff. So you're talking to all of them, and we're asking people to open their thinking, open their minds to the possibilities of what this place is. So you, who are we? Who are we, Angela, in your experience? Who are we?
Well, I believe the simple way to put it, because I try not to add anything that I don't know. A lot of
Yes.
people add things that they've read in a book or what they don't know. I'll just specifically stick to what I can say what I believe, what I think, but what I know is the only thing I can add to
That's
the big
beautiful.
picture.
I love that.
So what I know is that we're an energetic being. I can tell you now that when you leave your body, when you lift out, it's you feel much more whole than what you do in the suit. So like, the ones outside go more into this, but they call it the slime suit. That's the description in English of what they call it, the slime suit,
Which is
which sounds cute.
our body,
It's
I think.
not, yeah, well, we're literally slime, aren't we? You know.
Well, when I studied chiropractics, one of the teachers there said we are cells in seawater.
Yeah, well, we're a slimy suit, aren't we? That's just the translation. It's not like that's
Yes.
the name of us.
Yes.
So we're energetic beings having a human experience, energetic beings in the suit.
Okay, so
And
let's go back to
we
you
have
have.
amnesia. We have amnesia when we're in the
Yes.
suit.
You got
Yeah.
asked to then talk about OBEs, and
Oh, yeah.
that was with Barnabas, was it? Is that when you
Yep, yep.
first? So tell me how did that all roll out?
Well, I did it. And basically, everything was on the table, you know, and we talked about all sorts of things. And I did leave out some things, obviously. But I had hundreds of people, like I had plumbers and ordinary people. Not saying that plumbers were all ordinary, but just people that said to me, so I got emails and I got lots of messages on the forum as well, just from people, everyday people, that have said, that's happened to me, but I've never been able to talk about it. Right, that is exactly what's happened to me. I've lifted out that this has happened to me. And how on earth? And I just thought I was dreaming. I thought I was going mad, you know, like,
You're talking about ordinary men and women
yes. Yeah.
there, right?
Not people that like me, because I've deliberately sheltered myself from any sort of spiritual, like I've never done any, like I've been a bit more interested since I went public. But before I went public, I deliberately, without knowing it, I let myself be influenced at all with any of the groups that teach people all this sort of stuff. I just felt like it had to remain pure. And also, I didn't want anyone else. Like, I don't believe personally that I should be teaching people how to have an out-of-body experience myself, or what they are. But all I can tell you, 100% certain, is that there's no such thing as death. There's only the death of the body. And the moment you leave it, everything's like, if it is so much better. Like, it's like I compare it with, imagine if you went deep underwater. And you had to wear a suit with the big gloves, and you've got the gloves on, and you can just touch the coral or whatever. And you're trying to prod. That's what it's like in comparison. You can
It's
hardly
more
see
real.
anything because you've
It's
got your goggles on, your goggle on, and you've got your gloves on, and you can't hardly have any senses. So you have that full sense back.
That's a beautiful way of putting it, because I don't know if you've heard of a fella called Darius J. Wright, but
I've seen his videos in the last couple of years.
he's now becoming very popular, and he says exactly what you say, is that the other side is more real than here is.
It is. I saw his videos. He started a few years, well, what year did he start? I watched his videos about 2 years ago. It was so refreshing because finally, I mean, I don't know the man myself, but what he was saying was, and I knew it was true. He didn't have any particular names. He was just describing what he saw, and I thought, someone telling the truth. He hasn't read it in a, he's not saying all these funny names and coming up with these things that were written 300 years ago, which is good to do that sort of historical thing. I'm not saying that's bad, but when he's talking about his experiences, he's telling you exactly what he experienced. And it was like, oh, thank goodness there's another human being on this place, in this
Absolutely.
asylum, that's talking
Absolutely.
about it.
So tell me about your experience of what this place is. Let's talk about the warden and let's talk about what this world is that we're living in. Go
Tell
ahead.
you the bits that I know. I'll tell you another thing too that's interesting, and I don't know if any of you other listeners have experienced this, but when I was a child, I would have deja vu moments where I'd dream about it the night before, and then next thing you know, we'd be there. And it happened quite regularly. And I remember distinctly walking along and thinking to myself, I was here last night in my dream. This is what I saw, and I remember the dream. There's just particular, there's only one or two occasions that I'm still allowed to remember, but I remember it was quite regular. So, of course, you don't, can't verbalize that to parents. You just say nothing. And the other thing I remember is I remember being in a car when we went on holidays, and I remember being in the back seat thinking, this place is crap. Before I came here, we could get here in a second. We could just be here. These cars are really stupid. What kind of people would make cars that go, things that go so slow? But I remember distinctly saying, before I came here, we could go anywhere we wanted in a split second,
In a
and this is
flash,
rubbish.
in a flash. And you know what? You're bringing back a memory that I had when I was in
There you go.
primary school. I used to walk to school with my neighbor every day. And I remember saying to her, we just need to get the spaceship, the ship, right? Because when you sit in the ship, we can sit in the ship, we can get dressed out of our pajamas into our school clothes, we can have breakfast, we can leisurely do everything. And that all seems to take a lot of time, but in an instant, we'll be at school.
See, it's those childhood memories that are squashed. And I've heard my grandkids say things. One of my grandkids said to me recently, my little granddaughter, they'd lost their great grandfather, and just the week before, or not very long before, and she said to me, so one, my grandson was crying about it, which is normal, and telling me all about it, and my granddaughter said, "It's okay, it's okay." To her, I won't say his name, but my grandson, she said, "It's just the suit. It's okay. He just left the suit. Don't worry. It'll be okay. He's just left the suit. He's not dead," she said. "He just left the suit." And I'm sure that I probably mentioned it once, but I don't talk about these things because they're not my children, and I don't want to, it's not my place because it's up to my son and my daughter-in-law,
But what
But
we're saying
she
is
said that. She was absolutely adamant. "It's okay. He's just left the suit. He's not dead. Don't forget."
And
And he
as you said, a lot of that just gets pushed out of us or wiped out of us.
It
So,
does,
because I even thought as a kid back then that I was talking about the future, but I realized that I wasn't. I was talking about somewhere else, somewhere where we could
My
travel.
grandson he's 7 now, and he also used to talk to me, and I didn't encourage it because I didn't want to be a part of, then I'd be in trouble for influencing him in a way that might not be wanted, But I listened to him when no one else believed him. They said he was dreaming, and he said to me, I promise you I wasn't dreaming. And he told me about all the entities that he was seeing, how there were ones that were little tricksters. He didn't, I don't know if he used those exact words. And I said, I believe you, because I saw the same when I was young. And I
So
said, I believe. He was so relieved. And I've asked him, he went on to describe them, and I asked him all about them, and he described them. And he said, they come into my room, and some of them stand at the door, but some of them come in and they go right to my face, he said. And he was talking all about them. I know he's telling the truth.
So let's talk about the experiences that you had with the war.
Oh, well, Where does it start?
Where does it start? Because I want people to understand that it isn't just this place that we're in. This isn't all there is to it. You've
No.
had your experiences. People
Yeah.
have all sorts of different experiences about being somewhere else, but you had one that I've had an experience that dovetails into what you talk about because I lost consciousness. I was very sick with gastro symptoms and I lost consciousness. And my business partner at the time, Silvana, wanted me to come around to her house, even though I was very sick. She knew something else was going on and she wanted me with her. And I lost consciousness at one point and I wet myself, right? I just lost control of everything. And she woke me up and sat me on a chair in the middle of the room. Well, she went away to get a flannel and some towels and things. And when she did that, she wanted to ensure that I stayed awake, but I didn't. I lost consciousness again. And I had a man standing to my right-hand side. He had a hold of my arm and he was taking me somewhere. And he was then, we had a man to my right as well who had a pedestal podium kind of thing with this book on it. And the man was saying, "No, you're not coming through." And the guy holding me was saying, "No, it's okay." And they were having a bit of an argument about what was
They
going
do, yeah, they do, yeah.
And next thing, I've got Silvana in this reality whacking me, hitting me on the face, saying, "Helen, Helen." And that brought me back. So, I know that what was happening to me is something that you're just about to talk about.
Yeah, well, I mean, it happened quite a lot, but I look, honestly, I tried not to think about it. Just moved, went on with my life, did what I was doing in my 20s, and went on with my life, but it was happening because quite a few people have said to me, "Oh, God, I remember you talking to me about it when you were 16 or 15 or 18, and I was just like, did I tell you? Because I didn't want to tell most people, but I must have told some trusted people. Obviously, I'm still friends with them now, so they remember. But I started having, I was working at my first workshop, well, my second workshop, and I had a business partner for a little while, and she had to move away, so she'd moved away. And I started to get really bad anxiety, which I'd had all my life. I was having a lot of near out-of-body experiences, like a lot of that weighty thing down. I was talking to a friend of mine about it. I think things were brewing, so to speak. Nothing was going to stop me, so to speak. I had to do, had to let it, had to have that experience. But I'll tell you about one funny thing that happened before I had the out-of-bodies. I had a customer of mine who was a lovely young girl come into my shop, and we were chatting about spiritual things. Her father had passed away. We were talking about all sorts of things. I had a fair bit of knowledge about those things because of my experiences, I think, and we were just talking about spiritual things, and that was it. She was looking for things that she wanted in the shop, and next thing you know, this fellow walked in to the shop, and very, I couldn't even describe him, very nondescript, but he would have been in his late 50s, early 60s to in appearance. But he, next thing and he walks in, and the next bit of time I have my workbench and all the other things had moved across the room in the work, quite a big shop front, big, like it was an old, like a, not a fancy shop, it was one downtown. Everything had moved across the room, and like including the workbench, and my customer was laying on the floor, and your usual response would be to run over to her. But something told me not to move. So I just sort of stood there, and I talked to this customer who had walked in with clean hands, who now had hands that looked like he'd stuck them in a explosive brake dust or something, into a bucket of brake dust, and
So
I just remember
black
thinking,
hands.
yeah, grey charcoal, that brake dust colour that you see. So I looked at his hands, and all I could think of to say was, "Oh, I've got some soap for that. Got some." And he said, "It's okay, I have something for that." And off he went. I ran over to her thinking she'd fainted, still knowing something different. This wasn't just what happened. Like, we both knew that. Ran over to her, and she was laying there, and she said, "I'm seeing sparkly stars all over you, Angela. Like sparkly silver threads." That's what she said, silver threads. And I said, "We've just fainted." So I went and got her some Alka-Seltzer Gold and some water. And I said, "You couldn't be pregnant." "No, I'm definitely not pregnant." And of course, I'm looking at everything that's moved and thinking, what the hell? Because she
Yes.
couldn't drag, she's only a little person, she couldn't have dragged that across the room.
So
And we
reality,
didn't even hear it. We would have heard
reality,
it,
but reality altered.
obviously.
Right.
And we were, she was still staying, and I was giving her, a drink of Alka-Seltzer Cold, and she was laying there. She started saying, Angela, there's all silver threads all over you. And I thought, oh, I said, that's because you fainted.
Yeah, you're thinking that that's just what she was seeing because brain was rewiring itself somehow.
I was thinking anything but anything spooky,
Yeah.
Not that I don't look at any of it as spooky now, but so then I got her to go to the chair, and I remember that I had an email that morning from somebody, and they said, have you looked at the email? Have you looked at the email this morning? I can't even remember who it was. And I thought, well, let's look at the email. I don't know why I thought of the email at that point, because it could have been about anything. I said, well, let's look at the email. That's what I said to her. So we looked at the email, and it was about, if you see such and such a color, it means such and such. If you see silver threads, it means you're in the presence of an angel.
Right. There's
And
the answer.
then, so whether this guy was an angel, or I don't know what that meant, but I mean, I don't even believe in those things, but it was just interesting that I just opened up the email. I knew to open it. And he came back a week later, and I thought, oh God, not him again. Oh no, please no. Right before
Hold on,
closing
hold on
again.
to the tables and chairs.
Yeah, I was thinking, oh no, because last time, by the way, when after this customer was there, I won't say a name, but we talked about it for an hour. Just what are we going to tell people? What are we going to say? Because she said that she felt she was lifted up, and then she felt them grab something, grab hold her gently, and place her gently on the floor. Absolutely. And this is the person who didn't know anything about that stuff.
Yes.
She absolutely, that's what she experienced. She lifted up, and they gently placed her on the floor. She felt them holding her. And it came back a week later, and I was just like, oh no, not him again. And he just said, he's like, I was just looking at him, And he got the smallest soap. I don't even think, no, he didn't buy anything this time. Last time he bought the smallest soap. Sometimes there's an odd small soap that's supposed to go into the specials, the half price bin. But anyway, but this time he came in, and he was just asking me questions about chemtrails and about this and about that and all sorts of things. And he said, what do you think, Angela? What do you think about that? What do you think about this? And I said, well, I don't know. What do you think? I was frightened to say anything to him. And he said, it's not right. And he said, I'm not going to have it, or something like that. I haven't sort of thought about this, what happened. It was fresher in my mind years ago. But he said, I'm not going to have it. And off he turned on his heel, and off he walked out the door. And I've never seen him again since.
So
But he
who
said,
was he? What
I
was he?
felt his presence, but I'm not going to have it.
So
And the way he said it, yeah.
what was he?
I don't know. You tell me. You tell me. I can't say. Who knows what? But he could be a watcher, you see.
So why do we need watches? What is this realm that we live in?
Well, I started having more out of body experiences. I was very frightened and having terrible anxiety about it. It's very frightening if you're frightened. Very frightening. And then I had my good friend come in, who's also a psychologist, and she knows about all this stuff. And she happened to come into my shop again, which turned out to be an Aboriginal porthole, by the way, it was built on.
Okay.
She said to me, I was telling her what I was experiencing, because she was married to a doctor as well. And I was telling her about what I was going through. And she said, it's okay, Ange. She said, you're just going to have an out of body. That's all. You'll be okay. She said, when it happens again, next time, don't be frightened, and you'll lift out. And I thought, because I absolutely believe she's the most trustworthy person. Like, she's very intelligent. But I thought, that's weird. Really, am I? Okay. Well, I'm sure that's not going to help my anxiety, but okay, whatever you say.
But you
So,
must have needed this support and this encouragement.
meant to come into contact with certain people at certain times, I think. And she said that to me, and I thought about it, and then I just forgot about it, But I think it was either that night or the next night that I was in bed. Same thing happened. And this time, instead of being frightened, I relaxed. And next thing you know, up, up I come, lifted up out of my body. And then I saw my little boy, who was only about 4 at the time. laying on the bed beside me and next to me on my body. And I lifted up and I looked at myself and my body and my little boy next to me, sleeping like a little angel. He might have been younger than that, maybe two or something, but he was little. And next thing you know, go back into my body, because
Right.
I freaked out and snapped back. Yeah, so that I started having more of them, and I started to. I always had the most terrifying thing that happened to me was, I believe, what I call tricksters. It's the only way I can describe them. I would wake up. I thought I was awake, but I would wake up and I would feel myself being dragged down the hall. And I thought, oh my God, you think someone's broken into your house and you're going to be murdered, you know? So I felt that pulling, you know, literally, it's exactly the same as if I was in my suit and being dragged down the hall. And then one day I said, I have a higher rank than you. I don't know where this came from, but I said,
That's
I
it.
have a higher rank
I
than
was
you.
waiting for it. Absolutely.
I
Yes.
said, I am above you. And I meant it. So what I realized was, and that so one day I was being dragged down the hall again. And I thought, I'm no longer scared. This is getting boring. How many times are you going to do this to me? And then I realized that I'm not just not in my body and I'll snap back. I know you can't hurt me, is what I thought. I've cottoned on that you cannot hurt me. So you cannot hurt me. And then I thought, I'm going to tell them off. And so I think I was out back in my body then. I don't know actually, who'd know. I said, I am above you. You are beneath me. And I'm the boss of you. That's what I said. I'm the boss of you. And you can't do that to me anymore. You are never, ever to ever lay your hands on me and touch me ever again. Not allowed.
I love
So
that. I love that you've said that, right? Because people listening, you know, to you being dragged down a hallway and talking about darker energies or whatever, need to know exactly what you just said, because I've
they
experienced
cannot harm you. They
I have
cannot
a
harm
knowing about exactly the same thing, right?
you.
We are the highest power on this plane. We are the highest power, and we have command over this realm, full command on this realm. Because I had an experience with my son where he was sleepwalking, and when I took him to the bathroom to just get a flannel and kind of gently wake him up, I turned back to him and saw his whole energy had changed. His ears had grown, his skin had changed color, and he just looked like some little goblin thing. And my first instinct was like, you get out. Just
Well,
get out,
I
right?
must have been a bit slow with that because it
Right.
took
Well,
me years.
and it went, and that's when I realized is no matter what is in our way, we are the highest power. So I love that you acknowledge that. Thank you.
Well, I remember laying in bed afterwards thinking, I don't know if I should be saying that to them, but I feel like I am bigger than them and I'm going to demand so. So I could put like a restraining order on them on the spot,
Yeah.
literally. I said, you're not to come in within a certain amount of kilometers of me. You're not to blah, blah, blah. You're not to do this. You cannot just say, dear such and such. You've got to be descriptive because our language is very poor. We can't speak very well. Our communication is poor, I should say, very poor. So after that, I started having out of bodies and I stopped being scared. And I'm always a little bit apprehensive at first, obviously, next time it started happening. And it was starting to become quite fun. I started having regular ones where it's just like I could feel myself go through the walls, you know, and through round. I believe I had help because I would feel the bed like an energetic, like as if a cat's walking on your bed feeling. As I would feel that. I used to be scared of that. I'd stop being scared of that. And then I'd say, no tricksters, can't be any tricksters. And they were very gentle and teaching me. It's like I was being taught how to fly.
It's reassuring, isn't it, to know that you had that support?
So it was like I was being taught how to fly. So I was going, when I was a child, I remember I'd only go to a certain distance. There was only, I think I probably went about 20 meters above the electric wires at home when I was a kid, when I was very small. Because I was too frightened to go too far away. I don't know why, but obviously that's that connection that people talk about. I don't know. But I started to practice, not when I like I couldn't just go to bed and say I'm going to have an out of body now. I don't know, but it would happen. And the biggest one that I had, I went back to the realm that I came from, and the realm, and it's like I could remember. It's like when I was in the out of body experience, I could remember everything that I was before I came here.
Sure.
And it looked like, so we pitied the people on Earth. So the English translation is asylum for Earth. And it's asylum, I guess, because like I didn't think of these terms. This is just what the translation, how I can put it into English in my head when I come back. Because everything is, so there is no language as such outside. It's a knowing of what is. When you meet another entity, you understand that is like when I'm looking at you, that's not Helen, because that's a really dumb thing to say. You'd say Helen is everything about you is known. Helen of this and Helen is this person. It's all encompassing. So a name is just pretty stupid. Why would you use it when like that we only use it because we don't have that gift anymore.
We're a bit
We've got
primitive.
amnesia at the moment. Oh, where was I? So I started lifting out of this body, and this time I started going up a lot higher than I ever have before. Going outside, I just started lifting up and up and up and up. And then I saw above me was like hexagons, not like a solid hexagon, but like an energetic. I called it when I came back explaining to people a plasma, a hexagonal plasma, and that was above. So I was underneath it and I could see it, these hexagons all joined together. And I was thinking when I described it, I don't know if it was hexagons or if it was octagons, but it was a hexagon, and I thought there was a bigger hexagon with smaller ones. And then, so I'm underneath this thing thinking, my goodness, I've really gone up high, haven't I? And then next thing you know, I was allowed through that. It seemed to open up, like it was turned off. Well, I don't know. That's I've added that part turned off. I assume that part, and then I was above it, looking down on it, and then I went up and experienced because I'd been asking them about the reincarnation world. I've been asking the good ones to teach me about it. So, and sorry if I'm all over the place. It's very hard
No,
to
you're
channel.
not. No, you're not. I'm
So,
following you.
I asked them about the reincarnation world. Can you teach me about what they're talking about? Are we trapped here? Those kind of questions I would ask. So I went up and experienced this evening. It was like days. And in one of them, I was in like a rock world and I could jump off cliffs. And you could say that was a dream, which, I know there's a big difference between a dream, which I can explain a bit later, and an out of body experience, big differences. But anyway, I got to experience this rock world where I was jumping off things and there was these rock creatures. I just sort of put that down when I came back to maybe it was just, maybe it was a sort of a thing they implanted in me, like a thought that I experienced, like I was laying there and they gave me that experience. But then I went to another place which was different. It was almost like not like the Titanic experience, but similar. There was a staircase and beautiful things, and everything was gorgeous and well carved and just extreme extravagance, you could call it. And I got to experience that, but I noticed when I was there that instead of having to walk up the stairs, I could kind of hover up them. So I describe it as hovering. So when you're out of your body, you're literally hovering, not floating, hovering. It's just like,
Oh, I get what you mean. I've had lucid dreams of just, of being in that hovering state as well, dancing, enjoying things. And I think what you're expressing is that we are so used to the limited form that we are, and the limited language you're talking about as well. And what you're now explaining, even though it's extraordinary to a lot of people, is what we're capable of, and is, I mean, we can just step into whatever dimension, whatever realm that we would like to enjoy and experience.
So this was my first introduction to the warden, so to speak. So before I had that experience, I should, because I'm jumping from place to place, because it's
Well,
hard
let
when you.
me tell you that we've got 3 minutes to go. So,
Okay.
yes.
So before that, I'd been taken out of my body and then dropped at the foot of the bed, taken out of my body. This is just one experience. This isn't my first, but taken out of my body, put at the foot of the bed, taken out of my body, put at the foot of the bed. And I realized, and then he spoke and he was there. This, and I knew him as the warden. That's what I called him. And I
Okay.
knew him. It's not like I didn't need to be told. I already knew.
Yep.
And he took me, and he was quite annoyed with me over something I'd said with Barnabas Nagy. And then he took me, and I said to him, I said, not in my body. I said, well, if it's not true, if I'm wrong, then show me. And that's when I got to lift up to the reincarnation world. And then after I saw everything, somebody was in the, there was this beautiful garden with a great big tree, and they were there, and I went up to them, and it was a knowing of what was said. And I said, well, it's still, what did I say? It's still not right. I've forgotten the exact words I used because it's been a little while now and I don't talk about it very often. But I
Sure.
said, still, it's unjust. I said, it's unjust.
But are we
And then
the
instead of
employer?
getting a slap,
Yep.
this entity hugged me in a way that I've never been hugged before. The love that I felt from this entity. Also, the beauty of this entity, my God, talk about gorgeous looking. You have no idea. He was glowing. And I don't know if it's the warden or the diplomat that I met in the garden, the questions that I'll probably not have answered until I can't go back, until I leave. But he was waiting, and someone was waiting for me in the garden in that
So,
underneath
do
that.
we have a choice then if there is a reincarnation that
We
happens, the warden's in charge of that?
do now.
We do now.
We do now. I believe that we do. That's another story for that's another story.
Absolutely. You're going to have to come back, my love. You are going. We're going to have to do this again, right?
But
Because
the main thing that I want to say to people is that you're in a slime suit, you're in a suit, you're an energetic being having a spiritual experience, and you don't die. It's going to be okay. Don't be frightened. There's nothing to be frightened of out there. Just be clear with when you're praying to something. Don't use names unless you know that if they told you that's their name, because I personally don't believe they've told us their names, because they don't have them. They don't need them. But
So
just
just
know
be
that you've
clear.
got amnesia. You're an energetic being with amnesia in a suit. Don't be so hard on yourself and don't worry too much. They've got it. It's all taken care of. And there's a hell of a lot more that I could say. I'm trying to break it all down. It's okay. You're going to be okay. And if you don't believe me, that's okay too, because one day I'll be able to say, see, I told you so. We'll be sitting back there and I'll go, you didn't believe me either. You didn't believe me either.
As I said to everybody earlier on, it was like, oh my gosh, we've opened up this door, and Angela's just started to let all this beautiful
And
experience.
just remember that we're just these energetic beings. Don't be, yeah, literally don't be so hard on yourself.
Don't take life too seriously.
Yeah, it's a game. If I bought a PlayStation 5 last year, and then I was playing, thinking this is just, I gather this, but at least you know it's a game. You can turn it off if you feel like it. You just turn it off, you know it's a game. So that's what makes it difficult.
It's a
But
game and you can turn it off. We're going to have to leave it there. We're
yeah.
going to have to do this again, Angela.
Oh, they'll probably think I'm crazy.
It is. No, not at all. Not at all.
Oh,
That's
dear.
why I just wanted to weave some of my experiences in there as well to go, hey, I know where you're coming from
There's
because.
a lot of people that have it. And remember also, the most important thing to remember is you're still yourself when you're out of your body. You don't turn into this magical, boring white light. If this is boring, breathing air to stay alive is boring.
Is boring. All right, love. Thank you so much. It has been such a pleasure. Thank you for being brave. Thank you for pushing through that uncomfortableness to actually come on and talk to me today. I appreciate it so much.
I knew I could trust you, Helen. Thanks.
Thank you, love. Thank you so
Thanks.
much. And thank you to everybody for listening.
You've been listening to Inspired Radio with Helen Taylor live on BBS Radio TV. Join us every Monday at 4 p.m. Melbourne, Australia, AEDT time, for more stories and conversations that will change your world.